Father, come on. So good. So glad you're here today. There's more people pouring in from the cafe. Let's give a big thank you to everybody who prepared food this morning. Thank you so much. And to the whole North Braddock crew for hosting us today. Come on, let's give them a hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a action-packed full weekend we have here. With lots of great things happening. Wanted to start off just reminding just us, because you know why? We need reminded. We need to be reminded of why we're here, why we exist. And we have this we exist. Y'all remember why we exist here? Let's say this together. Come on, let's say it together. We How many of y'all think that's a pretty good reason to exist? I really, really do. I think that's an excellent reason, and I think God's doing that. I'll be sharing some things in all of our breaks leading, just saying how we've been doing that and what's been happening in so many ways. But we have leaders at our church, and we have the statement about leaders that it's just so important, and it's so important that we remember why we have leaders here. And leaders at Bridge City Church. And leaders at Bridge City Church motivate and mobilize. That's what we do. We motivate people and we mobilize them. We get them moving in a direction, teams and groups of people to accomplish the mission and vision of our church. And if we are doing what those two things, multiplication will result. And we're here to multiply. We're here to grow. We're here to see more people. When more people get saved, get heaven bigger. How many of y'all like heaven to get bigger? Yeah, see, that's why. And through followers of Jesus and through seeing more people know him and be discipled in him and get free from their past and able to live in their future. How many of y'all think that's a really good reason that we're here? And so in order to do that more effectively, what we have is we have training opportunities like we have right now. And once a year, we do a bigger training just like this. And today, we have two of the best people we could have training you today. And I'm so excited and I'll be introducing them different times. What we're going to do is we're going to do a session, and then we're going to take a break, do another. We have three training sessions today. And so Pastor Ron's going to do the first two. Pastor Keith is going to do the last one. Okay, and so I just want to get Pastor Ron up here. So as he begins making his way up here, I just want to let you know why he's here. He's here from Living Stones Church in Crown Point, Indiana, and not only are they multiplying and growing, and they're actually doing it. Amen. They're actually like just crushing it with people coming to Christ and transformed, and marriages getting restored and families restored, but. But when it comes to a passion for Jesus, when it comes to a passion for Jesus in his church, Pastor Ron excels. And I want us not only to catch the training that he's going to give us, and I'm going to take notes today. I'm here to be trained and equipped because I want to multiply. He has a heart for people and a heart for Jesus' church. That's what you're going to find. So let's give a great, big, huge Bridge City welcome. Pastor Ron, take it away, man.
Love you, man. Give him heaven.
Amen. Stay on your feet if you're... Let's stand. Amen. Thank you, guys. I didn't want to pray, so let's stand and let's just invite the Holy Spirit out this morning. Lord, we love you. We honor you. It's always a joy to be together with people who love each other and who love you. And so we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the impartation we're going to receive. And Holy Spirit, we just honor you and welcome you and ask that you fill this place, that you speak to our hearts in personal ways, intimate ways. And Lord, just be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to somebody, practice smiling this morning. Just let somebody know your face is excited to be here. All right? This is a big weekend for Bridge City, and we're so excited to be a part of it. I say we're because I want to introduce a good buddy of mine, Jeff Tim, whose son just married my daughter this year. And I refer to him as my brother-in-law now in Christ, although that doesn't make any sense, but he's my brother-in-law. And he's a diehard Steeler fan, so it's almost more than I could handle bringing him with me. We pull into Pittsburgh. He's like, "Do you feel the anointing of heaven on this place?" I'm like pulling off the road, vomiting. It was terrible. But anyway, it's great for us to be with you guys. You know, I think in I was just talking about this at our church this last weekend. We want to be a church that loves the Word of God and loves the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I like to say it like this. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't have the banks of the river. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the river. And so one without the other is a disaster. In fact, if you don't have the banks, you get a swamp. And if you don't have the river, you have a casket, all right? And so we need both. And in leadership settings, you can go both directions. You can do some great teaching on the banks, which are like three steps to this, and here's this process, and you know, practical stuff like that. Or you can talk about the river, all right? So I'm going to default in my two sessions. The first one, I'm going to default on the river, because I think the heart of a leader is really, really important. The essence of leadership, who we are, how we carry ourselves, how we minister to God's people. And then the second session, I'm going to get with some banks, but also a lot of rivers. Is that okay with everybody, just so you know what I'm talking about? So I want to talk about something this morning that I believe is the secret to long-term ministry success. Do I have your attention yet, all right? Anybody interested in long-term ministry success? And I also want to mention that this is the secret to finishing well. There are a lot of people that start off so great in the Lord, but they don't finish well. And I, one of my pleas to the Lord is, Lord, I just want to finish strong. I don't want to be a casualty. So help me. How many know we need help? Help me, Lord. Help me. And so I want to run the race well, and I want to finish well, and I want to be able to go a long time, and I want to stay fresh. Anybody like fresh? I want to stay fresh, and I want to stay happy. All right, in ministry. So check with me here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, should be on the screen, I believe. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd, everybody say huge crowd, of witnesses to this life of faith. Let me pause right here. Aren't you glad that we're not running this race and only a few people have successfully completed the race? There's a huge crowd that's gone before us, which means you can do it well. I want to encourage you. You can finish the race well, all right, the life of faith. This isn't something that's never been tried or successfully completed before. It says, so let's strip off all the weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I'm not going to go here this morning as far as a main point, but how many of you know we've got to continually be getting rid of things that don't matter in our lives? The weight is not necessarily bad stuff. It's just unimportant stuff. And then we also got to get rid of those little secret sins, because how many know the secret sins will kill you? The devil exploits them at the worst possible moment, all right? I could go into some detail on that. I think we all have our stories, but I'll pass, all right? And it says, let's run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Each one of us has a unique race, and each one of us is part of a bigger story and a bigger race. That's why you talk about your mission statement, why you guys exist. That's the race you all share together. But each of you in this room has different gifts and abilities and talents, and you have a unique path that God's carved out for you. It's your life of faith. And then you got the Bridge City life of faith, where you're sharing this dream together and you're running somewhere together. And both of them are really, really important. It says, run with endurance. How do you run with endurance, this race that God set before us? Well, it says you do it by keeping your eyes on Jesus. And in this passage, the NLT calls Jesus the champion. I love that. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion. We've seen a lot of at least I've seen some of my heroes of the faith that did not finish well, and they crashed and they burned. And how many of you know when that happens, many times people get, especially young believers, they get turned off about the local church, and it's a tragedy. We should all hate it when that happens. But the Bible makes it clear, we're not following any leader, amen? We're all just sinners at the cross. I told our people, we're going to come out with a new T-shirt. It says, welcome to Living Stones. We're all hypocrites, you know, welcome to the family. Because a hypocrite, you know, sinners like to use the fact that the church is full of hypocrites as a reason not to show up. But I always tell people, who else do you expect to find a church but hypocrites? Is all God has to work with is hypocrites. Because a hypocrite is just somebody who simply doesn't perform at the level that they know they should be performing at or doing what they know they should be doing. How many of you have ever failed and performed at a lower standard? Like, I know I shouldn't do this, but I failed. We all do. And so there's only one perfect person who ran the race perfectly. His name's Jesus. Amen? So let's keep pointing people to Jesus. But the flip side is, I don't want to trip people up either. Amen? I don't want to be a cause of somebody to fall. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Notice what it says. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. My father used to always tell people, and I think this is good counsel, you know, when people first come to the church, they're all excited. Bridge City Church, this is awesome. This is the greatest church I've ever seen. And whatever campus pastor that they have, that's the greatest campus pastor they've ever met. And they want to be involved, and they want to just help and all this kind of stuff. And my dad would say, see me in 6 months. And he wasn't sarcastic or cynical or jaded, at least I don't think. But what he was really saying was, you know what, you're in a honeymoon season right now. And he was saying, this isn't a sprint. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so see me in 6 months. Do you still think I'm wonderful in 6 months? Do you still love our church in 6 months? Are you still a Christian in 6 months? Have you decided maybe try Buddhism or something? You know, I mean, just come back in 6 months and see how you're doing. Now, that was just a general rule of thumb. We didn't actually keep time, but you get the point, all right? If you're in ministry, and you all are, first of all, I want to say thank you. Great job. I love talking to you because you have skin in the game. You know, I was talking with Jeff on the way out here, and Jeff's one of our life group coaches now, and they have about 40 or 50 people that come out to their life group. And this is why I want to get people leading in the local church, is because as soon as you're leading, you stop being a critic. I tell people I never criticize my wife. And they're like, seriously? You never criticize your wife? We had 8 kids. I was thankful for whatever she did. It didn't matter how she did. Are you kidding me? I don't have time to criticize her. I'm like, thank God for you. I can't imagine doing this by myself. All right? It's the same thing in church. When people start becoming leaders and serving and they become frontline ministers, they stop being critical and they start going, oh, Pastor, I don't know how you did this. Pastor, what do you do this? Oh, my gosh, help, 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 help. And that's the greatest thing in the world is when people get engaged in actual ministry. So I just want to say this, though. There's the other side of ministry. This race that we're running in ministry is going to be filled with hardships, calamities, troubles. Because let me share something really, probably you guys haven't thought of this. Ministry is hard. Now, don't get me wrong, it's rewarding and it's fun, but it's hard. Dealing with people situations, with life, it's messy, it's hard. We've got a 9-year-old girl who just had a heart attack because it's a genetic condition. She is hanging by a thread for her life right now in Chicago. At the same time, we're burying today a lady at our church who's been there for 40 years and just a pillar of our church. I mean, emotionally, and these are just wonderful people. I'm not talking about problem people. These are wonderful people. It's hard. And so the Bible says, if you want to finish your race well, if you want to run with endurance, keep your eyes on Jesus. And so here's my question to you. Well, if we're going to learn from Jesus, how did Jesus finish well? What was the secret sauce? The Bible says, I love this paraphrase in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 of the Message Bible. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He both began and finished the race that we're in. Study how he did it. So that's what I want to ask you. How did Jesus do it in a practical way? And I want to suggest to you that the way he finished well, in fact, the fuel that drove Jesus throughout his successful ministry was the fuel called joy. Joy. And I believe it was Jesus' secret sauce. You know, Jesus is the author. He is the finisher of our salvation. He's the trailblazer or the champion, the one who leads us back to the Father. And the word salvation, of course, in the Bible, we talk about preaching the good news of the gospel, right? Gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Literally, it means not just news, it means joyful news. Yes. All right? In other words, you can't tell somebody the good news of the gospel without a smile on your face. Because if you're talking about joyful news, but you're not joyful, you're screwing up the message. I mean, I want you to think about this for a minute. Like, hey, let me tell you the gospel. It's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I'd be like, what? Who's going to believe that? Or come to our church. You know, we preach the good news of the gospel, and everybody looks like you're at a funeral home. I mean, come on. Who wants to be a part of that kind of church? It's sick. So, joyful news. In fact, this is one of my favorite verses to preach on wherever I go. If I'm ever doing, like, crusades or evangelism. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The gospel is the good news of great joy for all people. Say that with me. Good news, great joy, all people. Now, this is incredible. We share good news that is, by definition, not just joy, great joy. And it's not just for some people, for all people. And so I want to ask you this question. If the gospel is joyful news, what does the author or the messenger need to look like? It's a good question, isn't it? What I'm trying to establish here this morning is I want to pop some bubbles. Joy is not the icing on the cake of Christian ministry. Joy is the cake. Some people go, I'm trying to have a good attitude about this, and you know, but life's hard, ministry's hard, and if you actually burst through and you reach a level of joy, you feel like, woo! But that's the exception and not the rule. But I'm trying to tell you, if there's no joy, it's not the gospel. I mean, this is like a paradigm shift, all right? Now I'm just gonna, is it okay if I share some dirty laundry?
Yeah.
It's better to share the Bible, but I'll share the dirty laundry actually helps make the Bible real. In the early days of ministry, for me, I'm raising this family of 8 kids. I'm a youth pastor. I'm working on an advanced degree, and I decided that God wanted me to run for public office all at the same time. Now, I'm not sure that was the Lord. I think I was kind of messing things up. But let's just say I was wound up a little bit. Anybody ever been wound up? And all my kids were in the van, and I would give them this lecture like good fathers do, right? We had a busy day. It's Saturday. We're running errands. And I say, look, when we get out of the van, I want you guys to go straight to the, you know, your room. Get ready for bed. Brush your teeth. Dad's going to come up. You know the routine. I'll pray with you. Let's go. Let's go, team. How many of you know that never happens in real life, all right? Ever. Ever. And so I'm running around. I'm thinking about Sunday morning. It's Saturday. I'm trying to get all these kids in bed. And I walk upstairs, and my son Joel, who this kid was so full of joy, he would wake up in the morning and announce to mom and dad, Dad, I waked up. Like, who's excited about waking up? But he would be excited about waking up, and like life was a party for this kid. And so I go upstairs, and while he's brushing his teeth and the toothpaste is foaming out of his mouth, he's fascinated like a little kid. Like, this is cool. Look at these bubbles. And he starts taking the foam and making a beard on his face out of the foam. And I come around the corner, and instead of going, wow, my kid is a creative genius. This is awesome. What a cool little kid you are. That's awesome. You made a beard on your face out of spit. This is amazing. instead of celebrating his little life, I laid into him. I said, what did I tell you to do? What did I tell you to do? Are you supposed to be wiping spit on your face? No, you're supposed to be brushing your teeth and getting in bed. Now get on with the program. And I just watched all the life just suck right out of him. I put him in bed, and okay, to make matters worse, I go downstairs, I crack my Bible open because I'm the pastor, and I've got to prepare to minister to God's people on Sunday morning. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit will speak to you in ways that you can understand? He speaks your language. And this is what he said. Oh, good job. You really did an amazing job of representing your heavenly Father to your son. I was cut like a knife, like, ugh. I mean, that's kind of how conviction works. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a lot of words. He just picks the right ones at the right time. And I was cut to the heart. And then I was broken because I said this, why am I so wound up? And why did I act that way? And you know, that was a season in my life when I went downstairs in the basement. I laid on my face on the floor and I wept before God. And I said, Lord, I don't want my kids to think that you are always on the edge, angry, upset, stressed out, because that is a gross misrepresentation of your character. And I cried out to the Holy Spirit, and I just said, please change me. I don't even know why I am this way. Help me. But you know what? When you're real like that and you cry out, he helps you. And so here's my whole point in all of this. We cannot preach the gospel of joyful news and be stressed out, burdened, depressed. How about this one? You know, brother, this is not about joy. This is about duty. We're called to be faithful servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I've heard people talk about crazy churches like you. You guys are one of those entertainment churches. We practice reverence at our church. Oh, really? I'm impressed. And I know God's got to be impressed with you, too. What good is joyless worship? You think God's impressed with joyless service? Well, Lord, I'm just here. I mean, they need children's workers. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, die to my flesh and be a children's. Are you kidding me? Please don't be around our kids with that kind of attitude. We don't need you, all right? Because here's my point. The demeanor destroys the message. It works against the message. And can I just say this? We're trying to figure out all these strategies like to reach people. How about joy? How about when people come to Bridge City? There's such an atmosphere, a culture here of people who are so in love with Jesus and love each other and really find joy in the mission that it's like contagious. It like sucks people in. And so I want you to see something. I want you to connect the dots with me here. Jesus is literally joy's face. If the gospel is good news of great joy for all people, and the messenger is Jesus, then that means the messenger's face is a face that should theoretically be marked by joy. And so what do we see when we look in the Bible? Well, check this out. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. God speaking, you have loved what is right, and you have hated what is wrong. That is why God, your God, has chosen you, and he has poured over you, Jesus, he's poured over Jesus the oil of joy more than anyone else. So if I ask you this question, who was the happiest human being that ever walked on planet Earth? Now this blows most of our circuits right here. When we think of Jesus, do you picture him with overwhelming joy on his countenance? Or is he upset like a father going, guys, when are you ever going to get it? How long do I have to put up with you guys? Is he frustrated? Is he disappointed? Or is he excited and full of the Father's joy? In fact, I want to connect another dot. If Jesus, this is what the Bible says about Jesus, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Jesus is the glory of God in the face of Christ. In other words, Jesus perfectly resembles the glory of God. If to look at Jesus is to see the Father, follow with me here, to look at Jesus is to see the Father, and to look at Jesus is to see the human being anointed with the greatest anointing of joy that the earth has ever seen, what does it say about the core of God's heart? It means God's not ticked and mad right now. It means the core of God's heart is that he is full of joy. And can I just say this? If you're the kind of father who your kids have to look out the window when you pull in the driveway to figure out, is this happy dad or bad dad coming home? Do we run for cover or do we run for his embrace? I mean, you know, heaven would not be heaven if you had to wonder if God was in a good mood. If you had to wonder if Jesus was excited to see you and if Jesus was having a good day. Ponder that a little bit. I'll pull up Pastor Keith. Selah. This is a Selah moment right here, all right? Because I'm wanting you to connect some dots into your personal ministry and what that looks like. My wife popped my bubble one time, and really it comes from this verse here, Psalm 43, verse 4. God the Father is joy's fountain. The Bible says, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. My wife turned to me one day and she said, honey, please hear my heart. I do not exist to make you happy. I am not the source of your joy. Please don't put that burden on me. And some of the wives were saying, hallelujah, come on, preach that, Pastor Ron. It goes both ways. But what she was saying is, please don't burden me with an assignment that only God can fulfill. In other words, don't make an idol out of me, and please don't put the pressure on me that I'm responsible for your personal well-being. Only God can satisfy the deepest needs in your heart. And so can I just say this as it relates to ministry? Some people involved in ministry are just, they're like this all the time because they're looking to somebody, their leader or somebody else, to give them enough kudos to make them feel good about themselves. You know, the source of our joy in ministry is Jesus. And I can't tell you how many times going through the hard seasons of ministry, when I had to come back to the reality, the Lord would ask me, why are you doing this? In the hard times, why are you doing this? And I'd say, here's what I say, because I love you. I love you. And he says, good. Now keep at it. Because he is the source of my joy. Now, let me just ask you a question. If Jesus is our pattern, and I'm going to ask you this question, who's the most joyful person again who ever lived? All right, let me ask you another question. Who is the most mistreated and abused person that ever walked on planet Earth? Wait a minute. How can those two people exist in the same person? Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with the deepest grief, and he walked in the anointing of joy more than any human being. This is stunning. Here's another one of my father's isms, all right? People would come into his office for counseling, and maybe they're having marital trouble, and somebody would say, well, you know, Pastor, I just can't forgive him because of what he's done. It's just hard. Or Pastor, I can't keep being married to this woman, you know. It's hard. And my dad would say, no, hard was hanging on a cross. Everything else kind of pales in comparison. So he said, hard was hanging on a cross. So every time you want to have a pity party in ministry, it's a time to cancel the party, tear up the invitations, and find the source of your joy again. And his name is Jesus. And you say, well, Jesus, you don't understand. It's really hard right now. He goes, no, I really do understand. I was mistreated more than any human being. But it never sucked the joy out of his spirit, which was the fuel of his entire ministry. And to me, that's beautiful. So I'm telling you this, and this is important. I'm connecting some dots here. Joy is not an optional accessory to the Christian life or to ministry. It's not the icing on the Christian cake. Joy is literally the gospel itself. It's the core of the gospel. It's the good news. And it is the fuel of our faith. The Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can I get an amen on that? How many of you know when the Bible says, love your pastor, honor your pastor, because it makes their ministry more joyful? In other words, they're able to serve you better with joy. And when you have a joyful spirit, it causes you to be strong. It causes you to carry yourself, to be able to plow through some things because of the joy in your spirit. And can I just say this? And I love it. When you guys were out in the lobby area there with the coffee and all the preliminaries before we came in here for training, I love this. I love to listen to what's going on and what's happening. People laughing, people talking, people engaged. You know, yet when you have to say, hey, guys, we need to all move into the sanctuary, that's a good problem. It means everybody is loving on each other, and you can feel the esprit de corps in the atmosphere. You know what I'm talking about? So at our church, we have a time when after the worship time, we'll say, hey, take a moment and greet each other. And instantly you hear, it is awesome. Sometimes I stand there and I just look, because as a senior pastor and senior shepherd, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. Not just seeing it, but hearing the buzz. And then when you got to tell people, hey, everybody, stop hugging on each other. Get back in your seats. It's like chaos for religious people. Oh, my gosh. Look at all this chaos. It's like, oh, no, this is not chaos. This is awesomeness right here, all right? So I hear that, and I know when we're together as leaders, how many of you know your leader's joy can be part of your strength because it inspires you to walk in the same spirit. Take a look at the next verse here. You're all familiar with this one. It's actually a command from God, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Always be joyful. Wow. Seriously? When you get a command like that, what it should do is not cause you to shrink the command or minimize the command. It should cause you to say, Lord, help. Because I can't do that by myself. And can I just say this? None of you in this room can say, oh, you know what, Pastor, this message doesn't apply to me. I'm German. We Germans, you know, we're not real joyful people. Well, I'm German, and so knock it off. You can't blame your personality or your ethnicity on whether or not you're going to be joyful, because the Bible just said right there, be joyful sometimes. That what it says? Always. So here's my point. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the most simple template to apply to your life. Whenever I'm feeling stressed or I've lost my joy, I just go, wait a minute. Am I living in righteousness, right thinking, right standing? Am I living in peace right now, or am I all stressed out? And am I living in joy? Because if I'm not living in joy as a default, something is wrong. Something is wrong with the way I'm processing life right now. Let me go through a couple other points here, and then we're going to wrap it up. Notice, even when we're persecuted, you say, well, Pastor, everything's not always easy. That's true. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. But look what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. Did you hear that? Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. That's an incredible testimony. Look at Hebrews 10. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. Why? Because you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. The better things is what fuels the joy, all right? I want you to see something. I'm going to skip ahead to a couple of things here. Joy was actually the goal and focus of Jesus' teaching. John chapter 15. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. And he says, yes, your joy will overflow. When it says so that, how many know that means here's the reason Jesus says, I taught you this so that you would overflow with my joy. So here's, as we're putting together sermons and we're teaching God's people and we're ministering and helping people, part of our assignment is to equip people to live in a spirit of overflowing joy. And this is like, what am I trying to do in ministry? I'm trying to create a bunch of joyful, Jesus-loving people who reflect the joyful news of the gospel so that we're not misrepresenting Jesus on planet Earth. Look at what the focus of the apostles' teaching was. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul says, knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive. Why? So, that means the cause, so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. This is so good. I tell people, I tell our congregation, I said, folks, you're not going to be able to handle me. If I live another 10 years and Jesus doesn't come, you're not going to be able to handle me. I'm going to be so amazingly, beautifully full of love and joy, you're not going to be able to stand me. You all believe that? The older you get doesn't mean you don't have challenges. I'm experiencing some of those challenges as I mature, but here's my point. Sometimes people get older and they get crustier. And like nobody wants to be around them. Like, gee whiz. That's not biblical. The older you get, the sweeter you get. Oh, well, you don't understand, brother. Man, my hip. I understand you got a hip. It ain't working the way it used to. You're getting older. Your hair falls out. Your breath stinks. Your teeth are falling out. Whatever. I don't care what it is. But it doesn't change who you are. In fact, I love seeing people that mature gracefully in God, and they're so full of mercy and truth and love and wisdom. It's like, yes. It's like they get better with age. That's what God's intent is for us. And let me just... One other verse, and I want to share something. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray, this is an apostolic prayer. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Why? Because you trust him. And then you're going to overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I only got 3 minutes, but I want to share something. Think about this. When God gave his endorsement of his son, remember at Jesus' baptism, it was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Let's just say it was the start of his ministry race. The Father's heart was so full of joy. He said, this is my boy. This is what he said. He brings me joy. Do you know that the greatest compliment a human being can pay another human being? I'm going to put that, anybody married in this room? I'm going to help you all out. The greatest compliment I can give my wife, you ready for this? Is not, oh, you look beautiful. Oh, you're such a good mom. Oh, you're an amazing cook. Those are all great things to say. But you ready for this? When I look my wife in the eye and I say this, you bring me such joy. I'm not being selfish. She never says to me, oh, I bring you joy. It's all about you. You're a disgusting, self-centered pig. No, she doesn't say that. I say, you bring me such joy. And she starts crying. Because when it's sincere, it means I find no greater place of joy than being with you. And that's exactly what God said over his son. He said, that's my boy. He brings me such joy. God couldn't contain his heart. I can't tell you how many times I've looked back at my parenting and I'm like, why did I communicate such displeasure to my child? I'm not looking at their behavior. I should have been saying, look, you're being an idiot now, but you still bring me such joy. You do. It's the greatest thing. And look, can I say one other thing? I got 1 minute. I got actually 20 seconds. When you come to church on Sunday, what do you offer a God who has, by definition, no needs? Why are you here? What are you going to add to God? I'm here to help you, God. He doesn't need help. I'm here, God, because, you know, I'm here to serve you out of duty. He's not impressed with duty. There's a lot better motivators than duty. You know, there's only one thing you can offer the Lord. It's called worship. What is worship? Worship is saying this: Father, you bring me such joy. And I am releasing the passion in my heart for you. And I love you. I'm not here because someone has a gun to my head. I'm not here because I'm a leader and I'm supposed to be. I am here because at the core of my being, I love you and I would not want to be doing anything else but following you and pursuing you. And listen, you might not feel that way on song number one. You might be just warming up on song number two because you had a week from hell. I get it. But if you can make it your joy, that by the end of that worship time together, you've got to the place where joy is coming off of your spirit. You have had a successful morning of church. And listen, when your church is full of people who are carrying the joy of God, heaven comes into that place because it looks like heaven. When leaders look like the Father's joy coming off of them, they are a picture of the gospel. And it is an atmosphere where radical transformation can happen and where people will knock your doors down to get into that place. Last thing I'll share, my son got a text from a guy that's been coming to our church who's brand new, and this is what the text said: I have never been in a church before, a place before, where so many men are happy. I thought, what an incredible compliment. Look at all these men that are actually happy. What a testimony. So, Father, I just pray for an impartation. Just receive this right now. Lord, a supernatural impartation of the joy of the Father's heart. You guys are so loved, so blessed, so enjoyed by God. And, Father, let us get that in our hearts so that every time we communicate with other people and we love other people, the joy of heaven just comes off of our spirit. Lord, fill this place with supernatural joy. And I pray for every leader who's burned out, tired, stressed out, overwhelmed. Let a river of joy just bring refreshing to your heart this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Rick.
Amen. How many of y'all appreciate it? Hey, Pastor Ron, stay right here. Pastor, how many of y'all needed that one? This is what we're going to do. If you could find me, I know I'm throwing something at you different here. Find me a song back there. And we're going to put this into practice. It's one thing to hear it, but how many of y'all really need to put that into practice? Okay, so while they're doing that, I know I'm throwing a curveball. A song, how about a joyful one? That would be good. And we're going to stand to our feet. And because one of my big questions was, and you answered it at the end, what do you do when that you're just not feeling it? And you answered it at the end. Yeah, I was getting ready to ask the question, and you said what to do. And so what I want to do is you need to spread out. Get yourself some room. Like move. Yeah, that's it. Come on, get some room, because you're gonna move. Okay. And so when you get a song, just okay, you're good. So they're gonna put a song on, and I want you to lead us, like you lead yourself. That one thing I said, you love Jesus and we all got scars, but you still love Jesus and you're still in it. Yeah. So I want us to not just watch, I want you to lead us in that process of joy right now. As the song plays, and we're just going to take a couple minutes to do this. And I want us to really just express to God, not out of your personality, but out of your spirituality. Too many times we're doing this out of personality, and it's not our personality, it's our spirituality that we do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you put that music on, like a little bit lower, but make sure it's there, and you just lead us however you want to lead us right now. We're people that need to experience what you just said. Is that good? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it, church.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just open our hearts. perhaps lift your hand and surrender to the Lord just as a way of giving Him the ministry, giving Him the burdens on your life right now. Just think again about who He is and what He's done for you. Just begin right where you're at. Liz, why don't we just release some thanksgiving and praise. Some of you came in here burdened this morning. Some of you, your life's got a lot going on, and this was just like another thing, and I get it. I've been there before. But let's just thank the Lord for the privilege of knowing Him, for the privilege of loving His people right now. Just do that personally where you're at. Thank
Come on, say it out loud. Come on, start participating right now. Just say those things. Just thank Him. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, out loud with your voice.
Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for saving me.
There you go.
Transforming my life. Thank you, I'm not who I was, but Lord, thank you, I'm not who I'm going to be. Lord, anoint me with the oil of joy. God, I don't want to be who I am by nature. I want to be supernatural, Lord. I want to move in the river. I want to move in freedom. I want my heart to be healed, Lord. Heal my heart, Jesus. Lord, break off the things from the past. Break off some bad modeling maybe from my own parents, some anger issues that happened in my home, areas where I was wounded.
Come on, keep
hurt.
Saying it out loud.
Lord,
say your things.
My heart.
Come on. Out
deliver
loud.
My heart.
Let your voice be heard.
Heal my heart. Some yes. of you need your heart touched by God. Just cry out to Him, Lord, heal my heart. Father, yeah. we ask you for a baptism of joy. Lord, right now in my own life, fresh anointing of joy. Fresh anointing of supernatural joy over my heart, Lord. Let's give the Lord our worries, the things that suck the life out of us.
Come on, say it, say
let's,
it.
Let's just release our worries.
Come on, release that worry. Whatever's worrying you right now, just release it. Say, God, here's my worry.
Thank
here's
you,
my
Lord.
Pain.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, just release thank it. Here you, it is.
Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. You called us into this. You called me to do what I'm doing now. God called you to do what you're doing now. And with the calling comes the equipping and comes all the resources. And so, Lord, thank you that I have what it takes. Thank you that I have more than enough. Thank you, Lord, that the joy of heaven will be my strength. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus who blazed the trail before us and showed us how to do this. And, Lord, if Jesus who endured all that He endured at the hands of sinful men. If Jesus could live in supernatural joy, then I can live in supernatural joy. So, Father, transform our culture. Transform our personal hearts. Lord, transform our ministries. Let it be a lifestyle, Lord. A lifestyle of joy. Not momentary bursts of joy, but a lifestyle of joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Awaken our hearts.
Come on, express to Him your appreciation and love right now.
Thank you, Lord.
With your words, just God, I love you. I thank you, God. Come on, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, just say that out loud. The joy of the Lord is my strength. One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Can you just thank God for joy right now?
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I put you on the spot. I put everybody in the spot there, but that's what we do here. Hallelujah. That was really great. Hey, this is what we're going to do. That clock in the back is now 9:49. It's going to, there we go. Hey, 6 minutes. You have 6 minutes. To do whatever you do, do quickly. And get a coffee, run to the restroom, but come back. We're going to start in 6 minutes. We're cutting that break a little short, but we need to get rolling here. So, hey, run, get what you need there. Thanks.